Let us open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm going to be reading from verse 2 to verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2 to verse 10. The ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. During that time, all Israel mourned because it seemed the Lord had abandoned them. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, "If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines." So the Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only the Lord. Then Samuel told them, "Gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah, and in a great ceremony, drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. When the Philistines' rulers heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. "Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines," they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with the mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown in such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. Amen. So, the title of my message tonight is going to be Roadmap to Victory. It's definitely going to be the shorter message, but short is a very relative word. So we'll see how that goes. Roadmap to victory. Out of curiosity, Okay, now I see him here, and I'm going to stop right here. Because I wanted to say something in the beginning, and he was not in here. But now he is. I was very concerned about talking in English tonight, I tell you honestly, because I knew that the youth is gone. But then, Dorian came in, and he brought a friend. And his name is Andrew. Sorry for putting you on a spot. But I want to tell you something, Andrew. We as a church are very happy to have you here tonight. And yes, this word is not going to be only for you, but we are glad that you are here with us. So let me continue. Roadmap to Victory is the title, and out of curiosity, I wrote my title in Google to see what Google has to say. And the first page, you can try that at home, not now, please. The first page that popped up was were two men embracing one another in front of a courthouse, fighting for same-sex marriage. Now, two things went through my mind. The first one was, it was quite disturbing that it was right the first page, and it was not an ad. The second thing is, I realized that nowadays when you talk about victory, you need to be a little more specific, because if not, some people might understand some completely different things. Victory is one of the things everyone wants. Imagine two armies going to a battle, and one of them goes with that attitude, "Dabei sein ist alles." This is a German saying, which means basically, participating is everything that matters. Doesn't work in a battle, right? If you do not win, you might be dead, or a prisoner of war, or something else bad might happen to you. You want to be victorious. We want to be victorious in our lives. Victory can be misunderstood. Some people might think that they are victorious, but in reality, they are defeated. And some people might think that they're so close to be defeated, but then they are victorious. And they turn out to be victorious or closer to victory than ever before. Let's take a look at this passage and see what the Word of God has to say. If you look at this passage, what we're going to see is that in this chapter, we see the whole cycle of the book of Judges. The whole cycle of the book of Judges is happening within this chapter. Now, what is the cycle of the book of Judges? Idolatry, the nation of Israel turns away from God. Oppression, an oppressor comes into the land. Repentance, the people of God, the people of Israel repent. Then God sends liberation, a judge, and then rest and prosperity. And after that, the whole cycle starts all over again. That's what we see in the book of Judges, right? Now, I noticed that if you look in history and you see that something keeps happening all over again, maybe God wants you to learn something. So, having this question in mind, what do you think victory truly meant for Israel? If we would look at the surface, we would say, let me take the mic off for this. Victory started at the moment when Israel won the battle against the oppressor. And it ended in the moment when Israel lost the next battle again. And within this time, Israel was victorious. But if we look a little deeper, I think we're going to see a difference. What I believe is that Israel stopped being victorious right at that moment when they turned their back to God. When they turned their back to God. Now, this is what I believe. And they started on the path of victory in the moment when they repented and turned their eyes back to Jesus. Turned their eyes back to God. Therefore, what we can say about victory is that victory is not the absence of an oppressor, but is the presence of God. Victory is not the absence of evil, but is the presence of God in your life. There is only victory in God and through God, and there is no victory, no real, true victory, eternal victory outside of God. Now that's what victory, true victory, is. Now let's see the roadmap to victory. The first thing we need to know is who is our oppressor. There is no war without an enemy. So who is your oppressor? If you look in the passage, for Israel, it was Philistine. All right? If you look deeper, we see idolatry. If you look deeper, this idolatry started from something. And I'm asking you tonight, What are your desires? What is in your heart? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we read, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it spring the issues of life. What is in your heart? If we think very deep about it, we're going to realize that actually the biggest obstacle for us to reach victory are we ourselves. We can keep blaming the world around us for everything we want. And people keep saying that, right? Even if we don't talk about faith, some people might say, oh, well, of course he was a criminal. I mean, did you see the neighborhood he grew up in? But now let me ask you a question. When the police came, who went to jail? His neighbors? His friends? Or the one who committed the murder or whatever they did? You can't keep blaming your entourage as long as you want. You are responsible for what to do, for what you do. And you are responsible before God. Therefore, at a certain moment in your life, you're going to realize something. And I hope you realize something. And if you want to reach victory, you have a problem within you. And you need to take care of the problem. Don't look only at the surface. Don't be mad just at the situation. Don't be just mad because your family is falling apart. Understand that all that came from somewhere. And you need to take care of that. The only way you can take care of it is through repentance, which is the second step. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, if you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey Him alone. Obey Him alone. True victory and true repentance always leads to unity. True repentance always leads to unity. You see, the people repented, and what did they do? They gathered together, and all of them together fasted. Now, if what you do in your life is not working towards unity, more unity, if you do not care about the people around you, if you don't care about your community, if everything you do is talk evil and think evil about those around you, I'm asking myself if you are truly repenting before God. I'm questioning myself how your repentance truly looks like. Because repentance leads to unity. Remember that. And now, how long does your repentance last? How long does your repentance last? You know what's sad? If we look at the next chapter, right, the next chapter, we see that Israel demands a king, right? Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have, verse 5. And then in verse 7, God says, do everything they say to you, the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. How long does your repentance last? Why do you repent? You see, the problem is very often people repent just because they hate the consequences of sin and not because they truly want to have a relationship with God. They hate the consequences of sin. You know, there was a man once who was very abusive with his wife. And at a certain point, his wife said, I cannot deal with this anymore. And she said, you know what, I'm going to leave. She went to the pastor, she told him, and she went away with the intention to leave him for good. Now, her husband, went to the pastor, and he cried, and he said, I know I did wrong. I know that was not right what I did. I know that was not right how I behaved with my wife and how I treated her and so on. I'm going to change for sure. Please call her and tell her to come back. The pastor called her, and she said, okay, I'm going to give it another try. She came back. Everything was good for a few months. But then he fell back to his behavior, and he did not want to change. The pastor thought about it and realized this man repented because he hated the consequence of sin. He hated the fact that now his wife is gone. But he did not want to give it up. Now, I do not know what you're fighting with in your life. Everyone is struggling with something, I'm pretty sure. Do you only hate the consequences that your sin brings? Or do you want to say, no, I love God so much that I want to give everything up that keeps me away from God and that keeps me away from a true relationship with Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that question in all sincerity. I think it's important. 3, leader. There is no way you can reach victory without a leader. Samuel was an amazing leader. At least 5 amazing things about Samuel. Samuel tells the people to repent. A leader always needs to be able to tell the people that sin is bad and you need to repent. You cannot keep talking only about how nice this world is and how positive we need to be. You need to tell the people that in this world there is sin and you cannot reach God if you do not repent. That is the truth. And the leader tells people the truth. And the truth, very often nowadays, is not told. Samuel calls them to unity. A leader calls people to unity and doesn't split people up and churches up. A leader does not do that. He calls them to unity. A leader brings sacrifice before God. He comes before God and prays for God, for his nation, for his community. That means that a leader needs to know what's going on in his community. Or with what do you come before God if you don't know what's going on? If you don't know what people are going through, what your friends are going through. A leader insists. He doesn't give up. He keeps praying until he knows God gives him an answer. A leader is in close relationship with God and communicates with God. Now, I know that nowadays, very often, people choose the leaders because we have democracy, right? And sometimes the reasons are not always the purest and the best. I want to tell you something tonight. Remember that. A leader is not always pleasing to the people. And he just can't be. You know, the people of Israel wanted to stone their best leader they had in the Old Testament to death, Moses. But Moses was pleasing to God. A leader is pleasing to God, even if sometimes he's not pleasing to the people. But a leader is listening to the people as well. Did Moses listen to his father-in-law? Yes, he did. He was not, "Jethro, man, you're not even from the nation of Israel. How do you dare coming and telling me advice? I mean, who are you?" No. He's right. And Jethro is right. Right? David, he could have listened to Joab, right, before doing that consensus and bringing such a disaster over Israel. Or Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, could have listened to the elderly, right? Now, I know that a lot of you, when I thought about or talked about leaders, thought about your pastors. Be honest. That happens, right? Let me tell you something tonight. You as a husband are a leader in your family. You have an amazing responsibility before God. You as a wife and as a mother are a leader for your children and have an amazing responsibility because those kids matter to God. And you children are leaders to your siblings because they look up to you. When they are in a situation and the parents are not around, what do kids do? They go to their older brothers and sisters, right? And they ask, "Hey, what should I do? How can you help me? Give me an advice." They look up to you. Sometimes you are their leaders. We all, that's what our music director says, we're all leaders, not followers. Sometimes we need to lead. Some people need to lead a nation, some a community. Every husband needs to lead his family. We're very responsible for what we do. And the best way you can lead is if you point to the ultimate leader. That's the best job a leader can do. Pointing to the true leader. Because there is only one leader who can bring you to eternal life. There is only one leader who can lead you to eternal life. And that is Jesus Christ. And then, fourthly and lastly, sacrifice. There is no victory without a sacrifice. Why? Because we have a righteous God. We have a righteous God. In verse 9, we see that Samuel brings, what does he bring? A young lamb. Isn't it interesting? You know he was not obligated to bring a young lamb. He could have brought a young cow as well, I would say. He brought a lamb. I think that's pointing to something. You know what's amazing about our leader? He's not just a leader. He's also the sacrifice. Because there was no one else. There was no other lamb pure enough to be that sacrifice. That's what's so amazing about Jesus Christ. He shows us the way to the Father, but it is only through him, because he paid the price. Jesus Christ paid the price so that we can live. so that we can have victory. And as soon as the sacrifice is brought, God answers from heaven. You want to be victorious tonight? Believe in the one, in the leader who sacrificed himself. Repent and understand that you, with your own power, have no power and way to get to him. But the only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. May God bless you all. Amen.